Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
How many of you remember the pick the end of your storybook? Remember those stories where you could like, you read a certain part and then you could pick the ending? You know what I'm talking about? How many of you guys remember those? And how many of you guys, you know, I remember in elementary school, we'd read one, we thought, oh man, let's pick the other one, because we were trying not to do work. We wanted the teacher to read longer. Remember those days when they would read to it? Wouldn't that be nice to have someone come to your house and read to you? Maybe not. All right. Today, we're going to continue our series called The 11th Hour, and the title is Your End Times, because I believe this. I believe you can pick your end times. You can pick the end of your story. And now, God, we don't know if God's going to come back before we die or after we die. We don't know the time or the hour that God has set. But God is coming back. And you have a choice today to pick the end of your story. Today, we're going to continue talking about the end times. We're talking about, last week, we talked about Jesus' return and there's a new thing we're doing on our new, we've updated our podcast, and actually the entire notes for our messages will be linked to a PDF. So if you can't take enough notes and you want all the notes, okay, there you can download them on the podcast, and there's a place for the PDF, and you can actually have the entire version plus what you take here for study. And there's no way to talk about the end times and the book of Revelation next week and capture all of it in a 35-minute period here on a Sunday. So hopefully you make yourself available, download that, and take a look. Today we're going to talk about, see, here's the reality. There's going to be two judgments. You're going to be part of one of them or the other. You could pick what you want. And so today we're going to talk about how does your end look like. And for some of you, you might want to change your end today. You may choose that you don't want to be a part of that second judgment that's coming called the white throne judgment. You might want to be a part of the other one we're talking about. And so today we're going to talk about judgments. We're going to talk about heaven. And so to kind of get our conversation going, let's look at the book of Revelation, chapter 22. I'm sure it's one of those things you read in kindergarten. It's an easy book to understand. Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 and 13. It says, behold, this is Jesus. I am coming soon. How many are glad Jesus is coming soon? Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning, and he's the end. You know, you read the book of Genesis, he caused it all. At the end, he's going to end it all. And he's everything in between. But what I love, and I'm going to stop. It says, I'm coming and my reward is with me, and I'm going to reward you according to what you've done. Now, how many of you know we don't get to heaven because of what we've done? How many know that we're not saved by works? The Bible says we're saved by faith, not by works, not by the good things we've done, lest any man boast. We're saved through the grace of Jesus Christ. How many know that? But how many know? But because of our relationship with Jesus, it should change our lives, and we should live our lives differently. And when God comes back, he is going to be a fruit inspector and say, what type of fruit? What type of life did you have? And he's gonna have rewards. It reminds me of a story of a preacher and a cab driver who died on the same day and went to heaven. And St. Peter meets them at the pearly gates. And Peter says, hey, preacher, how you doing? He says, right over here, we've been preparing this house for you. It's a really beautiful, it's a three-bedroom house. It's got high ceilings. It's beautiful manicure back lawn. It's incredibly beautiful. This is going to be yours. And then he looks at the cab driver and says, this over here, that seven-bedroom home over here with the pool and the fountains outside, that's yours. And the preacher's like, wait a second here. I preached the gospel. I thought we're rewarded for I That taxi cab driver was in my life group once, and his life was not like mine. And Peter says, yes, it's true, you are rewarded for your life and your fruit. He says, when you preached, people slept. But when the cab driver drove, people prayed. He's being rewarded. The way we live on earth will determine our reward in heaven. Now, if you're a Christ follower, if you have Jesus as your life leader, and you've given him the steering wheel of your life, and you've submitted your life to the Lord, and you said, Lord, you're my life leader, I'm a Christ follower, then we're going to have a judgment for us. And he's going to come and bring his reward with him and judge us according to how we've lived our life. In fact, let's talk about what's going to happen at the judgment. Number one, the first judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. There is a day of accountability. There is a day you give an account for your ability. There's a day that you're held accountable for your life and how you've lived it. Now, the question is, what is it, and what does it look like? And scholars believe the judgment seat of Christ happens right after the rapture of the church. Last week, we talked about that, when Jesus returns, and then he raptures his church, and we're reunited in heaven with him forever. And so the judgment seat of Christ, in fact, Luke chapter 14 tells a story, and Jesus says this. He says, although they cannot repay you, and he's talking about these people who have a banquet. And he says, go out and invite the blind, the lame. The distinguished gifts didn't come, so invite the poor and the crippled and the blind. Bring them. And although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. We talked about there's two resurrections. There's the first resurrection, which is when God comes back and takes his church up to heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise, and then those who are alive will be caught up together. And then there's the second resurrection, which we'll talk about later on, which is when God judges those who don't have a relationship with Jesus. You can pick your ending. You can pick the first judgment or the second. And in 2 Corinthians, it says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Say judgment seat. Now what's interesting is that word judgment is the Greek word bema. And how many know that the Bible was not written in English? It was written in Greek in the New Testament, in Hebrew in the Old Testament, in the Koine Greek, the common language of the day. The word bema, what was the person who wasn't the judge that sat at a bench where he judged someone's after he listened to all the arguments, the bema seat was the judge for the Grecian games or the Olympics of the day, where that person was the one who handed out the crowns or the wreaths or the awards to the people who ran in such a way as to win a prize. So sometimes people call it the judgment seat of Christ. Some people call it the bema seat judgment. It's not a judgment for salvation or damnation, heaven or hell, those who are right or those who get left, those that will meet the maker or those that will meet the baker, those that are sanctified or those that will be French fried. It's not that tight. This judgment's the one where God will judge you according to how you lived your life as a Christ follower. James, remember the whole discussion in James? You know, he talks about you have faith. You say you have faith, but you have no works. You have a dead faith, but show me the man who has faith and works. In other words, there's going to be things. And now, we don't know exactly what the bema seat judgment looks like, but we know at that judgment, God's going to reward us. And we know there's at least five crowns that God's going to pass out. And so, according to how we live. And again, it's rewards for how we've lived faithfully on earth. Here's the five crowns that we know about. Number one, there's an incorruptible crown. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians, and he says, don't you know that all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? But everyone who competes and goes in the games in the strict training, they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So Paul says, that's why I beat my body and I make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself might not be disqualified for the prize. What is he saying? There is a crown that does not tarnish for those who run the race in the right way. How many of you want to know that God wants us to run the race in such a way to attain the crown? The prize. That's the incorruptible crown. Run a faithful race. Then there's the crown of rejoicing. The crown for those who share their faith and help others come along. So I can't wait. When the rapture happens, I'm going to grab as many people. I pray I'm in a crowded area. I'm going to grab as many people and say, do you want to get right with God or not? If not, I'll let you go. I don't know about you. What I love about this church is I think there's a whole lot of people in this church are going to get the crown of rejoicing, because this is the church that will do anything short of sin to make sure people know about Jesus. We're always inviting people. You're always passing that invite cards. You're always telling people about Jesus. And I'm so proud of you at True North. And the crown of rejoicing is for those who share their faith. And then there's the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness we talked about this last week. And that's the crown where you love his return. You long for him to return. We read this in 2 Timothy last week. I'll read it now. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give at the Bema seat, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who've longed for his appearing. Maranatha. Remember, we talked about Maranatha. We long for him to return. Anyone here excited for Jesus to return? Anyone kind of hope it happens before school starts tomorrow, UAF students? April 14th is a good day, Lord. Maranatha, the crown of righteousness. And then there's the crown of glory. That's for faithful pastors. I preached my first Bible college sermon in sermon class. It's like, how do you preach in sermon class to a bunch of sermonizers or future pastors? And I picked 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, which says, be shepherds of God's flock, not because you must, but because you're willing. Not lording over those entrusted to you, but eager to serve. And I call it the knots and buts of ministry. Not this, but this. Not this, but this. But he says this in verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, why is he coming? He's coming back to give us rewards. The Bema seat judgment. Not a bench, it's a throne. It's the Bema seat. You will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Anyone want a crown of glory that will never fade away? And then lastly, the fifth crown that we know about is the crown of life, and that's for those who suffer. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. You know, we're blessed in America. We can stand up for Christ on our campuses. We can stand up for Christ in public areas. And we might have some people laugh at us or say some stuff or all those things. But there are places around the world where Christ followers get martyred on a daily basis because they stand up for Jesus. And there is a crown of life for them someday. In fact, read the book of Revelation. There is a giant army of martyred people in the book of Revelation that will be around the throne someday, worshiping the Lord. And Revelation, now here's the deal. It's not like you're going to go to heaven and strut around like you've arrived and you got all the five crowns and maybe there's more. You're not going to say, hey, can I go to the store and buy a little red wagon? I got to make sure everyone sees my crown. Look at my bling bling, guys. I melted down, got some rings, like the Super Bowl people, you know? It's not like that. How do we know that? In Revelation chapter 4, it talks about what heaven's going to be like, and it talks about around the throne where Jesus, God, is, there's 24 elders, and they're seated around, and these 24 elders are dressed in white, and they have crowns of gold on their heads. And then it talks about, and there's seven lamps and seven spirits of God. And there's a sea of glass and a crystal sea. What a day that will be when my crystal CL, when the crystal CLC, right? And then it says, they're centered around the throne are four living creatures, one like a lion, one like an ox, and one like the face of a man, one like an eagle. And it says, day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And then it says, and it says, whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor to God and thanks to him who sits on the throne, the 24 elders fell down before God and who sat on the throne, and they would lay their crowns before him and say, you're worthy. You're worthy, our Lord God, to receive glory and honor. You created all things, and by your will they're created. And you have, see, when you get to heaven, I'll tell you right now, you're not going to be thinking about the crown that's on your head. You'll be thanking the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for that crown of thorns upon his head that allows you to even be there in heaven. Holy, holy, it's not about you. The crowns are not about you. The crowns are simply something we lay back at his feet and say, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for the grace that changed and transformed my life. Thank you. See, you can pick your own ending. You living your life in such a way today to obtain the prize? How are we doing? When we talk about the end times, my goodness, we're talking about a span of quite a while. We know, and let's just kind of walk through a timeline, and then I'm going to jump into the end of the timeline here. But the near the front of the timeline, we know, we talked about this last week, and if you, again, download our app or go to our website, listen to the podcast, but we know this, Christ returns. God will come with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet sound of God, and then, number two, the dead in Christ will rise, and then we who are alive will be what? Caught up together. The Christians will be raptured on the timeline, and then we know the Bema Seat judgment. That's when believers are rewarded. See the timeline, and then upon the completion of the Bema Seat, the 7 years after, at the rapture, the 7-year tribulation starts, and that's where you hear about the 7-year period. First 3.5 years are tough. The second 3.5 years are really bad. The Antichrist shows up, and the last 3.5 years are pretty bad. And see during the rapture, during the tribulation, people maybe who learned about Christ and never made a commitment still have the ability to make a commitment, a decision for Jesus. You read Revelation, talks, many of them will be martyred. They'll be asked to take the mark of the man, which is 666, and so if not, they'll probably be killed. And so we know that the tribulation will be a difficult time. And at the end of the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon will happen. That's where evil versus righteousness, and the God wins, and Satan is then thrown into the bottomless pit where he's bound for 1,000 years. And we know that during this 1,000 years, it begins the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, where Christ, his first return was what? He came to get his church from the world. The second time he comes back, he brings the church with him. And there's 1,000 years on this earth without the devil's activity. How many of you want to know that's going to be a good day? There's 1,000-year reign. And then at the end of the 1,000-year reign becomes the resurrection of the dead. Now, last week we talked about, you know, as Christians, we can live twice and die once, or we can live once and die twice. And we talked about how Nicodemus in the book of John said, you know, how can I see the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, unless you're born again, you'll never inherit eternal life. And he goes, how can I enter my mother's womb again and be born again? He goes, no, you don't get it. Unless you're born of the flesh or the water and born of the spirit. If we're born twice, we die once. If we're born once and we never make a commitment to Jesus, we die a physical death. But then there's the resurrection of the dead. And at the resurrection of the dead, there's the great white throne judgment. We'll read about this in a moment, where God opens up the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll be thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. That's why you can pick your own ending. And so, and then after the great white throne judgment, where all of sin has been judged, now God establishes a new heaven and a new earth. And there's no ancient serpent, the devil, to come in and tempt people. And now we live in a place where we'll be with God forever. How many of you guys are excited about that place? Now, what will heaven be like? Will we be bored? Are the angels like the Cupids we see on Valentine's cards, chubby little babies with bows and arrows, little wings in the back, you know, flying, playing harps and clouds? John had a vision in John, in Revelation chapter 21. And if you want to read about heaven, go to Revelation 21 and you'll get a glimpse. Number one, three things that we know about heaven from Revelation chapter 21 is God will establish a new heaven and a new earth. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away." Now, anyone have really good memories of about life here on earth? Anyone have some great when we moved up to Alaska, it was 10 and a half years ago now, 10 plus years ago, my wife and I moved up in December so I could get my card to show that I lived here so I could get my dividend a year earlier. I got here on the 30th and took my driver's license on the 31st, flunked it, so I just got my state ID card and went back in the new year and got my license. And I've always flunked them because I don't know all the rules about alcohol and all that stuff because that's never been a part of my life. And so I learned just skip those and, you know, get the ones you know. And then if you maybe roll the dice on the ones that, I got here in December. My wife finished up her teaching contract at a school in Las Vegas. And I flew down the beginning of May, packed my family up in a U-Haul, drove up to Seattle, Tacoma, put my U-Haul on a boat, and flew up here. We had 4 weeks, 3 weeks of camp, and then I took my kids to Homer, and we went fishing in Homer. And it was one of these days. I mean, Homer, Alaska, there's not a whole, you know, coastal areas of Alaska are incredible on sunny, beautiful days, right? And so it's like 75 degrees. Early July, middle of July, not a cloud in the sky, there's no wind, the sea is like glass, there's not even like 6-inch seas, and one of my daughters, you know, she was right there, and we saw sea lions or sea otters are throwing their babies in the air and playing with them, and my daughter's like, "Oh, they're so cute, can I take one home?" No. And then they see whales come and they breach. And one of my daughters grabs me, and she grabs my face, and she says, "Dad, this is the best day of my life." She meant it. See, I believe this about Alaska. How many of you guys have ever drove around town? You see those cars that have, like, the stickers on them, covering up what type of car they are. And, you know, they cover up the logo. And so there's a gentleman in our church that has a warehouse, actually leases it to Acura and Toyota for the people that are test driving cars and figuring out how they work in the Arctic. And I believe this. I believe Fairbanks, Alaska, and Alaska is kind of like heaven. But God doesn't want the world to know it, so he covers it up with white. And makes it cold because it's like he's trying to figure out all the bugs because he wants to make sure. Okay, maybe not. But but I think heaven, you take your favorite moment on earth and heaven will be indescribably better than that. For multiple reasons. But the first reason is because you'll have uninterrupted fellowship with God. It's like the Garden of Eden before sin messed it up. In the cool of the evening, Adam and Eve would talk with God. They felt no shame with their nakedness. There was no awareness to sin. There was no shame. There was no guilt. It was prior to sin. The new heaven and the new earth will be a place of undisrupted, uninterrupted fellowship with the Almighty God, and everything we enjoy, we can't even think about. In fact, the Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love Him. What a place. First thing I know about heaven is God. There's a new heaven, new earth God will make. Number two, you'll never suffer again. You'll never suffer again. Revelation chapter 21 says He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain or cancer or divorce or loneliness or sickness or death. It says the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I'm making everything. Say everything. And I looked up that word everything. It means everything. New. Everything. No pain, no fear, no worry, no stress, no hunger, no sickness, no heartache, no loneliness, no war, no AIDS, no famine, no diabetes, no heart conditions, no genocide, no hurricanes, no earthquakes. Heaven. Could you imagine a place where there's no more tears? No more pain? The third thing I know about heaven from the scriptures is you will live with God forever. And you might think, well, what are we going to do forever with God? Let me just say, a day to God is like 1,000 years. We look at time differently than God, but because we have earthly concerns. But you take away our earthly concerns, and if all we have is uninterrupted fellowship with the Almighty God, I'll tell you right now what a day that will be. The old song says, when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face. Revelation says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them, and they will be His God forever. Can I just say God has a dream? And God's dream has always been that He would have a people for Himself that He could lavish His love on. And the devil came and messed it up with sin. Sin has breached that gap. It's caused a wedge between God and man. And it's a hard work to stay in close relationship with Jesus. But in heaven, we'll be with God forever. And He'll finally restore things back to the way He's always dreamed of them to be. Us with Him. And Him with us. We don't have to share Him with anyone, and He doesn't have to share Himself with anyone else, just us. See, most people think heaven's the default destination, but it's not. I've performed lots of funerals, and they say, well, you know, Pastor, he was a good person. I'm sure we'll see him again. Well, did he have a relationship with Jesus? Well, he was a good person. Can I just say right now, guys, heaven's not the default location we're going to. Because of sin, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. How do I? Matthew chapter 7, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and few find it. The broad road is default. The narrow road, few find it, friends. See, we talked about the Bema Seat judgment. That's for the narrow road people, guys. That's for the people that walk through the narrow road, the small gate, that they found it. And why do we always encourage you to invite your friends? And why do we pray for people that are far from Jesus? Why? Because we know that there's a broad road, but we pray there's a traffic jam in Fairbanks toward the narrow road. Because lots of people are trying to get on the narrow road, and there's plenty of room for everyone to get on it. The defaults, and what happens for the broad road people? Friends, the broad road people, there's a final judgment. There's a bema for us. But for those who don't have a relationship with Jesus, There's the great white throne judgment. Christians won't be here. John has been exiled to the Isle of Patmos. He has a vision. Revelation chapter 20, near the end of Revelation, talks about it. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence. Earth and sky fled from God's presence. And there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small. In other words, it doesn't matter how big they were in the world's eyes or how great they were in the world's eyes or small. It says they're standing before the throne. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. If anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Friends, we could pick our enemy. You might say, well, Mark, how could a loving God send people to hell? A loving God doesn't send people to hell. A loving God died on the cross so people wouldn't have to go to hell. A loving God, the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus. You might say, well, it doesn't sound fair. It doesn't sound fair. You want fair? We don't want fair, friends. None of us like it. None of us like it when we see someone not being punished for something they deserve to be punished for. It's called justice. Justice is right. Justice is good. Aren't you glad that Jesus died on the cross so we aren't justly judged? Something called grace. It's called forgiveness. But when someone sins, let's think through it logically. What's really not fair? People are simply being held accountable for their actions. So they'll open up the book, and it says that they'll be rewarded according to what they've done as recorded in the book. Lives, everything we do will be recorded. When Jesus comes and forgives us, they take it and they blot that part out in that book, and they put a big red dot of Jesus' blood over that, and they can't read it anymore because our name has now been transferred to the Lamb's Book of Life. What's not fair is that one person would die for us, but he did. Now, maybe you're here today and you're not in right relationship with Jesus. Narrow is the gate that leads to life, but broad is the road that leads to destruction. Maybe you're on the broad road. Maybe you're a broad roader today. Maybe you're a narrow. I don't know what road you're on, but you do. If Jesus came back today, would you be stuck on earth for the next 7 years in tribulation? Or do you know for sure that you're on your way to a Bema Seat judgment where you'll be in heaven? If you don't know for sure, it's as simple as saying, God, I admit, I acknowledge my sin. I believe that you died on the cross for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. A, admit, B, believe, and C, confess. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. If you're here and you're not in right relationship with Jesus, I want to pray with you. Usher's going to come at this time, but would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room today? You're here, you're not in right relationship with Jesus, but today you want to begin that relationship. I simply want you to pray this prayer silently as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today would you please forgive me? I admit I've sinned, but I believe you died on the cross for me. I want to walk through the narrow gate today of a relationship with you that leads to life. I'm hopping off the broad road today. I'm leaving it behind. Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Please be my Savior and my life leader. Help me serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.